Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we preview the Detroit Lions Week 11 matchup with the Chicago Bears. What do we know about Chicago and what are we expecting from each team and what do we view as vitals for success? In addition to our usual game preview, we hear from a reporter who covers the Bears regularly. We'll talk about Justin Fields and the quarterback situation as a whole for Chicago, as well as their running game, wide receivers, and the Bears' improving defense. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hey, everyone. This is Lomas Brown, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today by Mike Berman, a member of NBC5 Sports Team out of Chicago. He covers the Bears regularly. Thank you for joining me on the show today to talk about the Lions and Bears matchup, Mike.
No, thanks for having me, Matthew. I'm excited to talk about it. And I think for the first time since I started working in Chicago, and maybe in about 50 years, the Lions are legitimately good. So let's go. Let's talk about this Lions team.
All right. Well, we want to talk about the Bears team as well, because the Lions fans are really excited. And who better than to learn about the opponent from than somebody who covers it regularly? And so I think it's safe to say this is probably not how you thought the Bears season would start, starting 0-4, and then the Bears have gone 3-3 since then. So let's start with the high-profile position, the quarterback position, right? We heard all about Justin Fields in the offseason. There's been some injury there. Tyson Bagent has come in and played quarterback. Where are things at right now with those two guys, and what are you expecting for their Week 11?
Certainly things can change between now and game day, but I would be fairly surprised if we didn't see Justin Fields make his return on Sunday. He's now missed 4 games, and we're looking at the recovery time being a little more than a month. And it, just the way that we've seen him in the last handful of days back on the practice field, it's the first time he's really looked like he's ripping it. Last week, when the Bears were playing on short rest, Matt Eberflus said there's a good chance that if this game against the Panthers was Sunday, Justin Fields would have played. So everything just kind of seems to line up for him to come back against the Lions. And they need him to, not just because he's obviously, you know, better than Tyson Bagent and gives them a better chance to beat a good team like the Lions than Tyson Bagent does, but they need as much film on him. They need as much time down the stretch as they can to evaluate him and to figure out, you know, are they going to offer him the 5th-year option? Is he the guy they can build around? I would be surprised if when training camp opens next year, there's not a high profile first round quarterback on their roster. But who knows? What if Justin Fields over the last month and a half was just outrageously good? You know, that could change things. Long story short, I'll be surprised if he's not on the field at Ford Field Sunday.
Nationally, you hear a lot of questions about Fields. Locally, Are people still behind Justin Fields? Are they thinking this guy's got the talent that can get the Bears to the winning ways?
I would say at this point, most people probably don't think that he's the guy. You know, I mean, he had a stretch last year, about three or four games, where he was really good. A lot of it was predicated on him, you know, breaking off some unbelievable long touchdown runs. And this year he had a really good two-game stretch against the Broncos and the Commanders. But, you know, aside from those couple of isolated stretches, he's been very inconsistent. You know, he just kind of looks like a guy who isn't getting it like you hope a franchise quarterback to get it. He always seems to be waiting for guys to be open as opposed to throwing them open, which you've got to do in the NFL. You're not going to get a lot of wide open looks like you might, you know, when you're Ohio State playing Indiana. I don't think the coaching staff's done Justin a ton of favors. I think that the game plans and what they've asked him to do haven't always accentuated what makes him special. And that's his ability to beat you, you know, running or passing. And so it's just kind of gotten to the point where it almost feels inevitable that the Bears are headed for the next cycle of drafting a quarterback in the first round.
All right. Well, let's talk about an area that has been going well for the Bears, and that's the running game, right? Foreman and Herbert have solid yards per carry. I think it's like 4.3 and 5.3 yards. They don't have a ton of yards that would jump out total yards to you, because you add in Fields, you add in Roschon Johnson. This team's got some rushing stats. If I'm not mistaken, the Bears are like fourth or so in yards rushing on offense. It seems like that's something they might rely heavily on when they face the Lions.
Well, I do think that they've had success running it. They've leaned on Deontay Foreman over the last two, three games when he's been the primary guy, with Khalil Herbert out and Roschon Johnson was in the concussion protocol for a bit. And I guess it's almost like the lesser of two evils in a way, when you've got an undrafted rookie from Division II as your quarterback. You know, helping him out, establishing a run game is always going to be beneficial. And with Justin Fields, you know, his ability to use his legs is a weapon, you know, and combining that with a pretty solid run game might be more effective than asking him to drop back and pass it, you know, 30 times or more. So, and I also think, you know, anytime you've got an offense like the Lions have, you'd love to burn some extra clock by keeping the ball on the ground and keep Jared Goff and the Lions offense off the field as much as you can. So, Yeah, I would not be surprised to see the Bears try and lean on the run game Sunday.
Now, wide receivers wise, it's kind of impressive that DJ Moore has 52 catches, 793 yards, and 5 touchdowns, considering everything that's been going on with that quarterback position. He seems to be the guy they were hoping they would get when they made that trade. And Cole Kmet's pitching in quite well at tight end. Do you see those guys playing a big role in this week's game?
Oh, for sure. I think they steadily relied more on Kmet. He's definitely increasingly gotten a bigger role in the offense. And he's done a nice job this year, and he had done a nice job in the second half of last year. And DJ Moore is a guy the Bears have rarely had, a bona fide, you know, really solid number one receiver. And I think it took a while for he and Justin Fields to develop that chemistry and to get on the same page. The first Thursday night game the Bears played this season, it was week 4 or 5. He just went nuts. He had 230 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So that was a game or two after Fields kind of publicly called out the coaching staff and then said, I need to give guys like DJ Moore more 50-50 chances. And he did that. DJ Moore on a team with a steady quarterback, I think his numbers would be off the charts. I think he's really good. And I think the only reason those numbers aren't dramatically better is because of the Bears quarterback play.
Fair enough. That makes a lot of sense. All right. Well, let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball. The Bears have a pretty good rushing defense. I think they're top two or three in the NFL. Their pass defense, that's a different story. It's ranking at 25 right now. They've also added Montez Sweat to the defense, and that was a big move. So take me beyond these stats. How's the defensive playing in your estimation, and are those accurate numbers for strengths and weaknesses?
Well, one thing that's important to point out is the Bears' defense has definitely been better over the last month or so, and that has coincided with Matt Eberflus taking over the play calling. They had Alan Williams was their defensive coordinator, and all of a sudden, week three or four, he resigns. You know, some we don't even know what happened, but you know, all the reporting says that human resources were involved inside the Bears building, so clearly it wasn't a good thing. But yeah, and then Flus took over play calling duties, and they played better. And you know, Matt Eberflus, say what you want about what he's done as a head coach, he'd done a good job as a defensive coordinator. So I think he certainly knows what he's doing when it comes to calling a defense. And, you know, they weathered the storm with some injuries. And yeah, they adding Montez Sweat, I think, was a good addition for them, especially for a pass rush that was last in the league in sacks last year, that's been mostly unproductive this year. It feels like they're in a pretty good place. Now, they also, you know, they beat the Panthers last week. They're bad. They beat the Raiders 3 or 4 weeks ago with Brian Hoyer playing quarterback. They were bad. So, you know, I'd be interested to see how they compete against a very potent Lions offense. I mean, you know, just watching some of that game against the Chargers the other day, you know, they look like a team that they can score every time they have the ball. Bottom line is the defense has been the unit that's been their better unit, which isn't saying much when you're a 3-7 team, but it's also been improved over the last month or so. So I will be interested to see against an elite offense like the Lions, you know, can they put up some resistance?
All right. Well, now, if the Bears are to pull off a victory in this game, what does Chicago need to do to be successful, you think? What's it going to take?
Well, I would say they need to force probably multiple turnovers. They got to find a way to get the ball back from the Lions and thus limit a couple of Lions opportunities to score. And I actually think that really controlling the line of scrimmage offensively and, like I said earlier, running some clock, shrinking the game. So if the Bears' run game can be productive, if the O-line is doing its job and the backs can move the football that way, I think the run game with potentially creating some takeaways is the only chance that the Bears have to win this game. Now, maybe Justin Fields is back and he plays a special game. We've seen them occasionally. You know, that would certainly be a big help for the Bears, because Tyson Bagent, while he's a great story, is an undrafted Division II guy. It's the story has kind of played out, and we're seeing what his limitations are. There's no question. Justin Fields coming back gives the Bears a better chance to win.
All right. And obviously, you said it, the records are very different, right? The Bears are 3-7. The Lions are 7-2. But it's a divisional game, right? These two teams have played each other two times a year for so many years now. In your estimation, what do you think the Lions need to do to win this game? What's it going to take for them to be successful?
Well, the Bears have lost 11 straight NFC North games. So that's not good. And I don't think the Lions need to do anything special. I think having watched the Lions, you know, just being another team of the division, watching them from afar this season, that's a team that, as long as they come out and play their game, they're going to be fine. They got so many guys who can beat you. And Goff, I think, is playing the best football of his career. So, Yeah, my short answer to that question is I don't think they need to do anything special. I think maybe the one thing I'd say goes back to the first thing I mentioned for any chance for the Bears to pull an upset. Just take care of the ball. You know, if you don't give it away, I think Detroit wins that game.
All right. Well, as we wrap things up here, do you have any final thoughts on this matchup that you'd like to share?
Well, I'm just excited to see this Lions team, you know, because I feel like, you know, and I remember getting to see them last year, and you could tell that they had something building, but they've taken another step this year. I mean, that was obviously evident on opening night. I'm just excited to see, especially inside of Ford Field, because I've been there. I know it's a great environment. Lions fans are very supportive. They've got to be loving watching and cheering for this team. So I'm just excited to see, especially like an indoor environment for an offense like that, that I would think could lead to some fun watching, even though it might be some painful watching for Bears fans.
That makes a lot of sense. Mike, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your insight on the Bears, and I'm sure all the Lions listeners do as well.
Oh, thank you for having me, Matthew. I appreciate it. And let's do it again sometime.
Sounds good. And now, folks, for the rest of our Lions versus Bears preview.
Hey, this is Rob Rubick. Stay tuned for more great insight from This Is Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined by Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players at the college level and some all the way to the NFL. Good to have you here as always, Coach.
Oh, glad to be joining again, Matt.
Well, as we get into it, I just want to remind the listeners again, please hit that subscribe or like button. It is helping us build momentum. Coach, before we get started as well, I want to bring up some roster moves that were just announced by the Detroit Lions. Offensive lineman Halapulivati Vaitai has been moved to injured reserve. That's a big, big move. And then defensive back Anthony Averett, who was signed about a month ago to the practice squad, and running back Devin Ozigbo, who has been on and off the practice squad and active roster, have both been released from the practice squad. And a follow-up move to that is the Lions have added two players to the practice squad. One is offensive lineman Michael Schofield. He's a third-round pick out of 2014 out of Michigan. He's been a member of about five or six NFL teams, most recently with the Bears as a backup last year. And then defensive back Kendall Wilder was signed to the practice squad. Now, he's a fifth-round pick out of 2020 by the Bears. According to the Titans, in three seasons, he's played 44 career games with 22 starts. He's got 67 tackles, an interception, and 10 passes defended with a sack. Now, he went from the Bears to the Titans this offseason. He was then signed by the Eagles practice squad just a few weeks ago, but then got released as they needed some offensive line help, and the Lions have swooped in and picked him up right away. Coach, what do you make of all this?
Well, I think it's great. With Vaitai going on, you know, we need to sign somebody on practice squad so we can pull somebody up. I mean, he hasn't played in, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that. So, you know, I think that's a good move on that part for them. You know, they got to get that back up. And the rest of the pieces seem to be in place to where they can start releasing some guys off those practice squads and getting people in there that can back up the positions that we have concerns with injuries.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of us were hoping Vaitai was further along the road to recovery because he had not been put on IR and it's been a few weeks, but because it's been a few weeks and we kept not seeing him in action at all, it kind of shows us, all right, that we shouldn't be completely shocked that it trended this way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think he was playing a little bit of special teams, and of course, Glasgow has done such a great job at filling in all those other two positions, including his. You know, it was a move that, you know, they said, hey, let's just put him there and let him get rested up for the push for the end of the season.
And perhaps the biggest move the Lions made today, the one that's going to get the most attention, is they signed former 2012 first-round draft pick Bruce Irvin. Now, he's played in over 100 games, tallied 55.5 sacks over 11 seasons. Now, he is 36 years old. He's going to start on the practice squad for the Lions. We'll have to keep our eye on this to see when he gets elevated to the active roster and the exact role they have him playing. But that is some exciting big news for Lions fans. All right, well, we're moving forward in the season. We're moving to week 11 here. The Lions are back home taking on the Chicago Bears. So let's talk about what we're expecting out of Chicago coming into this game. Now, the Bears were fourth in rushing for offensive rushing. They've since moved to fifth after Sunday's games, and their passing attack is right around 22 or 23. So I think if Justin Fields does play and if he's healthy enough to go, I think Justin Fields is going to be out there. He's going to be using his legs to make some plays when needed, but he's going to try to protect himself from hits. And I think Fields has something to prove right now. I think he's a motivated guy, especially with Bajent playing. I think Fields has to step it up. So I'm expecting to see a reinvigorated Justin Fields.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's kind of funny. You know, we look at, I don't know if you saw this, but Bajent is ranked first in the NFL, having been sacked. Only 3.4% of his dropbacks were Fields. Was 12.9%, and he was the 32nd worst. So, you know, Badgett doesn't get sacked, and Fields does. But again, Fields needs to get back because Badgett is, you know, he's 2-2. And I think that's something that's pressured him. So, interesting. Lions may be saying, well, we hope Fields, but then we got to worry about his experience and where Badgett doesn't get sacked. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting. The only bad thing is, you know, the Bears need an extra day or two to see if who is going to start. And, you know, that hurts the defense a little bit on progress and setting up our game plan. But I know that the Lions are going to be focusing on themselves more than who they're going to be playing against because, you know, we've had a rough couple, 3 weeks without it getting any sacks and still getting the pressure. So they had to focus on what they need to do to be better as a unit.
Well, the interesting thing is you see the records of the two teams and they're almost completely in contrast, 7-2, 3-7. And so you think, okay, it's a home game. Lions are favored by 9.5, I think is what I saw most recently. But Dan Campbell on the radio said, this is just as talented of a team, or he might even have said, this is even more talented of a team than what they played last week. And so when he talked just about talent in the room on the roster over there. And so, you know, I think that what we're going to see out of the offense is Fields looking to try and make something happen. And their defense, it is improving. You know, they've got a pretty good run defense. Their pass defense hasn't been good, but it has been making progress. The other thing I thought was interesting is their run defense is pretty good and their pass defense seems to be lacking. And those are some areas that were similar for what the Chargers had when the Lions went to face them last week. So that might be an interesting common theme right there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, by adding, they call it the Tez factor now because Sweat joined the team. You know, he had five quarterback pressures, which was more than the Bears defense in 2 years. And so I think that's going to, you know, and again, they had the lowest sack percentage in the league. Forced lowest in quarterback hits, but Montez has definitely made that factor a little bit different. And, you know, that's why they went out and went after him, and that's why they paid him the big money. We definitely have to, you know, we have some work. You know, again, last week we did pretty well against the two guys that we talked about, so we'll see what happens this week.
All right, well, let's focus over on the Lions. Let's see what are we expecting out of the Lions coming into this game. Right now, they have the number 2 offense in yards per game, averaging about 406 yards a game. Only Miami is better. That is ridiculously amazing. Now, when you break it down to pass offense and running offense, the Lions are 4th best in each category, which right there, that tells you they are balanced, which is right where they want to be, and that's just got to make you feel really good.
Oh, it does. I mean, that, you know, you look at, you know, those couple games before the break and stuff that we had, we dominated. And what did we do? We ran the football to kill the clock. We ran the football to take away more possessions than the other teams. What did we do the other day? We threw the ball, but man, we ran. I mean, he threw for 333 Goff, but we also ran the ball in the first half. We are balanced. And again, you know, we have the two-headed monster in the backfield and we have some pretty good receivers. I think the best receiver in the league. I think J-Mo showed some things the other day. You know, of course, his blocking skills are unbelievable. And we just, and then Khalif had that pass reception in the fourth quarter to seal the deal. So, you know, that's the thing is, how are you going to stop us defensively? And if you want to focus on a heavy box, then we're going to throw the ball. If you want to throw on a light box, then we're going to run the ball. So you better come up with some schemes and try to disguise what you're going to do to try to stop us and see if you can get Jared Goff off his game. Good luck.
Well, and that's the thing. Both of those avenues of the Lions offense are very successful because of the offensive line. And being as balanced as we are means even if you're able to stop one of us, either our running game or our passing game, or slow it down, the other one can then pick things back up. So let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball. The defense is still ranked in the top 10, number 9 overall, but against the pass, they are now below middle of the pack. And based on what we saw against the Chargers and what we knew coming into that game, that's not a huge shock. But on the other side, the rush defense is still top 5. They're number 3. So, Coach, what are you expecting out of this Lions defense?
Well, I think the biggest thing with them is they're gonna focus on the communication part and not about the number part. And what I'm talking about is, you know, Campbell talked about the communication. Hey, we weren't getting to them. Hey, there's nobody in the secondary making a call. You know, look at some of those pass plays that were last week. You know, how does Allen go through our defense without him being touched or wide open? You know, or how do we, the same thing with Eckler. I mean, you know, and I think there's a lot of communication things. I also think there were some situations because we had one or two or three drives in a row that resulted in touchdowns. Guys started blowing their assignments because they're going to make the plays. You know, they talked about that after the Ravens game. They talked about it after the Seahawk game. And they talked about it after this game. The good thing is we got to win after this game to build on, and not a loss, which could have been a loss. You know, those are the things that I think you'll see from our defense. I think the communication's going to be better, the getting home and not blowing assignments and not, you know, playing within the scheme of the game. And I think that's one of the things they'll be focused on all week.
Well, I think you said one of the best parts of all of it was we won the game, even though the defense didn't play as well as they have in other games. And this is a respond game, right? I mean, we saw them respond against the Raiders after that Ravens loss. We saw them respond after that Seahawks loss against Atlanta. Are we going to see something similar this week against Chicago after allowing so much last week? I think we're going to, for a variety of reasons, but I also think it's going to be real interesting to see how the Lions defense handles a good scrambling quarterback if Fields is back in there. And I think that'll be a really interesting thing to watch.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, that's the big thing. We're going to get home, you know, with our front four and get home with some of those blitz concepts. You know, that's the biggest thing is we had some great blitzes going in the first half on Sunday against the Chargers, and we didn't get home on them, and it looked like we kind of backed off on that and tried to play coverage. And I think that's something that they're going to continue to work on. And we hope that, you know, we're going to keep them in the pocket, which, knock on wood, after every game where we've had some flaws or some people that exploited some of the things that we had, we've answered the following week, like you had just said. So I think that's one of the things that they're going to do. You know, Dan Campbell and the staff are working. They don't care about who they're playing. They care about themselves.
I agree with you on all those aspects. I want to dive a little bit deeper into this because that's a major storyline, right? The Lions defense stopping the pass. So let's talk a little bit about this, Coach. A lot of fans are concerned, and it's not a shock when you've seen three games where teams pass quite a bit against the Lions, you know? And that would be the Baltimore game. That would be the Seattle game. It would be the Charger game. And, you know, Kansas City would have been a fourth game, too, if there weren't so many drops in that game. So when you look at this Lions defense, a lot of fans are very concerned about the ability to stop the pass. But you've said to me a few times, and Coach Campbell has mentioned it, it's about doing your job and the assignment. So do you think the pieces they have, can they make some corrections, or you think this is a talent thing?
Well, I think some of the disguise and some of their coverages and things like that, I don't think it's a talent thing. You know, I think you have to kind of look at the opposite side of the ball and what Johnson does, where, you know, you never know what he's doing. He's got motions coming here and they're throwing screen plays for touchdowns. They're lining up St. Brown on the inside and they're moving him outside. They're doing stuff with Laporta, you know, and I think that's the one thing that Aaron Glenn will get into. To get that situation, you know, to get those, make those situations better, making sure people don't know when we're coming, but surprising them on our blitz concepts, you know, surprising on our zone drops. I don't look at that either. San Francisco 49ers lost three games in a row. Are they the worst team in the NFL now? You know, the Philadelphia Eagles gave up points. The Dallas Cowboys gave up points, they lost the game at the end against Philadelphia and they didn't go down and score again against Philadelphia. You know, it's the NFL. You know, you're 1 week, if you're not ready, you're going to get smacked in the face. The making corrections and showing each week that, hey, we made a correction. Are we doing the exact same thing wrong in two of those losses in this last game on defense? I'll guarantee we're not. I'll guarantee we've made corrections and they're going to keep making those corrections and put them together when they count. And that's week, you know, 16, week 17 to shore up the league and going into the playoffs. That's what good teams do.
Well, and you know, if we look at that San Diego game, I mean, Coach Campbell even talked about it early on. The Lions defense was good. I think on the first four drives, they allowed 3 points and pressure from Anzalone helped force that interception by that incredible catch by Kirby Joseph. But then, you know, down the stretch, it wasn't the same. And so the hope is they can get back to that this week when they play Chicago. Now, like you said, if we can evolve that. And speaking of evolving, I think another big storyline that's really popped up is the evolution of the Detroit Lions running game. Because let's make no mistake, it starts with the offensive line. And then it goes with the running game. I think that is the identity of Dan Campbell. I mean, who runs the ball on 4th and 6, right? And gets stopped a yard short, but keeps going 2 more yards with a little help from his friends. I mean, that's David Montgomery. This running game has the potential to be something that few teams have ever had in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought about that. I probably told that to 10 or 15 of my friends in the last couple days. You know, my Raven buddies and my Cleveland buddy, you know, nephews and stuff like that. And I said, it was 4th and 6 and the Lions ran an inside run play to get the first down. Again, we go back to our offense. If you're going to load the box to stop the run, we're going to throw for first down. If you're going to go a light box to stop the pass, we're going to run for first down. Again, it all starts in the trenches. Defensively with the D-line, it starts in the trenches. Offensively with the O-line.
I agree. I think, you know, you look and see Montgomery's averaging 4.7 yards a carry. Gibbs is at 5.3. I mean, those guys have only played 6 games and 7 games apiece, where others have played 9 or 10 games. And they're in the top 20, 25 for running backs, both of them. And so I expect to see the running game to continue to get better. I think that wants to be their bread and butter. But you know what? They're going to put some peanut butter and jelly on that too sometimes. And that is Jared Goff in the passing game. And let me tell you, I mean, I don't have to tell you, we know how good Amon-Ra St. Brown is and Sam Laporta and Josh Reynolds, Khalif Raymond. I mean, even Jamison Williams contributing and Brock Wright. I mean, and all that gets set up by the maestro. Because you got to call Jared Goff a maestro at this point. You give the man time. He has pinpoint accuracy. I mean, not just that pass to Brock Wright, but that one to St. Brown that was like a needle in between 3 Chargers. I mean, you just the offense is evolving even more, and it's really exciting. And I think that's something that Lions fans should get real excited about. This might be the best offense we've had in recent memory, if not long-term memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think. I look back at, you know, back in the 80s that they were pretty good, but this one here just seems to have so much clicking, and it comes from, I think it comes from Jared Goff identifying, you know, you go to that long touchdown run. I mean, that long touch, the 75 yard touchdown run with the wrong personnel on the field. St. Brown was the tight end. And they just said, run, we're going to run this play. And it went for a touch. St. Brown makes the key play. J-Mo makes the key block. And I just, that stuff is just amazing to watch, Matt, to see the different things they can do. And hopefully we just keep growing from it and keep getting better and keep going with an upward trend. And who knows where they're going to be at the end of the year, long as we stay healthy.
Well, I think you said it, though, too. This might be the best offense since the early to mid 90s for the Lions. And the reason I'm going to put it that high is because even in the offense we had in like 2012, 2014, I think we only had 1 year with a 1,000-yard rusher there with Reggie Bush 1 year. But we have a legit running game and passing game. And that's what the Lions had back with Lomas Brown and Barry Sanders and Herman Moore. You know, you had a legit two-headed monster running and passing. And they have a really balanced one as well right now. So that's exciting, and that just makes us that much more difficult to stop. And so we're returning home to Ford Field now. This atmosphere, this is our first game since the bye and Monday Night Football. I think it's going to be a loud, exciting atmosphere. Coach, let's get into prediction time here. Again, we don't have to predict scores. We don't have to predict wins, right, losses. But what do you think is going to happen? What are we going to see in this game?
Well, let's go with the crowd. First of all, they're going to try to be better than they have ever been. It's the Bears coming into town. I'm going to predict Monty is going to have a huge game, seeing he came from the Bears. Yep. They pay him, and he wanted to go to a winner. I think the Bears are going to come in trying to stop Monty for leaving. So I think that's the biggest thing. I think our pass defense is going to be better. I believe that. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't care who's that quarterback. I think we're going to get to the quarterback. I mean, the Bears are, their offensive line pass blocking efficiency is ranked 27th. So that should be something we could go after. But again, when there is some negativity in a previous game, the Lions always answer the call. And I'm going to predict they're going to answer the call defensively. And of course, offensively is going to be well. And I won't predict wins and losses on it, but I predict we will play better this week on all three phases than we did last week.
All right. Well, I'm having a hard time contradicting any of that. I think you're going to see the Lions try and pound that run game as well. I think that's their identity. I think that's what they want. It starts with the offensive line, and that's Taylor Decker, Jonah Jackson, who was doing great. You've got Frank Ragnow. You have Graham Glasgow, and you have Penei Sewell. I mean, you got to name all five of those guys because they're doing that great. I think they're going to try and run the ball, wear them down. And if for some reason they try and put seven guys up there, eight guys up there, then we're going to throw the ball to one of the best wide receivers in the game and one of the best rookie tight ends in the game, one of the better tight ends in the game. And so I think that's going to be something to see. I think the Lions defense is going to bounce back on the passing thing for a variety of reasons. But I'm also hoping that they're going to be able to keep DJ Moore in check because he's really good. Now, Coach, last episode, you had a trivia question for me.
So okay.
I went and found a trivia question for you, Coach.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Yep. Let's hear it.
So right now, Sam Laporta is on pace for about 900 yards receiving. And only two tight ends have ever hit the 1,000-yard mark for receiving as a rookie. One was recently, and one was a little bit not so recently. Can you name either of them?
Oh, man, I'm going to go with Charlie Sanders just because that's the old Lions guy.
Not a bad guess, but yeah. The answer is actually the answer I gave you last week.
Oh man, you got me now. It's gotta be Ditka.
It's Ditka. In 1961, he had 1,076 yards on 56 catches with 12 touchdowns, and he did that only 14 games.
Holy cow. That's a record to never be broken because they only have that, they'll never have 14 games.
Right, exactly. Do that in that few games. 2 years ago, Kyle Pitts did that in 2021, but he had 17 games, I believe, to do that in. Right. So Laporta might not quite reach that 1,000-yard mark, but right now, Laporta's got 47 catches. So he's on pace for 89, and the most catches by a rookie Tight end is 81 by Keith Jackson in 1988, and Jeremy Shockey had 75 in 2002. He looks like, if he keeps this pace up, he could be third all-time in yards and number one for catches as a rookie.
Now, that's just amazing. And again, I love that. Even if he doesn't break those records, just keep making those fourth down catches to prolong a drive.
Exactly. We don't need him to break those records. And the way the Lions are attacking as a team on offense, it wouldn't shock me if he doesn't get to those numbers because there's so many different people that can contribute. But the big thing is the production they're getting out of him in his rookie year is something I think Lions fans have been hoping for about 20 years.
No doubt. Just totally agreeing with you on that one.
Awesome. Well, Coach, let's get ready for the game this Sunday. Thanks so much for being here. I always love talking Lions with you.
Oh, definitely. Good talking to you, Matt. And we'll text at least once or twice this week.
That we will. And thank you so much, folks, for tuning in. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.